follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
One more day, you're stuck with me. Mitch and Pauly still on vacation, but they return tomorrow. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys today. What's up, buddy?
It's a reunion.
I know.
Do you remember the first show I ever hosted here was with you, Follow the Money in the morning slot,
yes.
Because someone, we won't name them, was not able to make it in at 3:30 in the morning. There was no one awake to call to figure out who would be
yes.
the replacement. And you were like, what do we do? And I was like, I guess I'll throw a jacket on and sit at the desk with you. And that started this whole thing.
I was also still relatively new at the time, too. And already filling in for a three-hour show at that time of day was, like, not something I had done. And you saved my tail. Like, I tell everybody. That is a memory that will stick with me for life.
Well, I think people don't really process it when you tell them. It was a show that started at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
local time. It was an East Coast morning show. Obviously, Mitch and Paul now, you see the color back in their face. There's no more bags under their eyes.
They seem a lot happier as people, I've noticed.
Yeah, they're back in the afternoon. So I'm kind of like, I'm not quite that shift on cashing out late at night, but it is weird to be here when the sun's still out.
Yes.
I will tell you that.
And I do appreciate you, by the way, doing the late night and then still making the turnaround to be with us here in the afternoon. Appreciate you. We're going to have a lot of fun. We have a jam-packed 3 hours ahead. The pizzeria is open, so make sure you send in some of your plus money pizza money bets. Have a little bit of fun there. Our MLB previews will continue. We've got live hockey going on right now in the Olympics with Team USA in Sweden. Tied scoreless through the first period, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking at this puck line. Not, I won't bet it because these colors don't run, Stormy. But Sweden plus 1.5, minus 120, I think it was plus $1.20 last night. It feels like we're going to have a one-goal game, right? Yeah. Doesn't it feel like that?
That was one of the sides that I, at the end of the show, and I do want to say this, I feel a little bit vindicated for the way that Follow the Money ended yesterday. We finish our in-pocket plays. JVT is giving me grief for how much I wanted to talk about hockey throughout the course of the show. And I was like, well, hey, all of the quarterfinal lines are officially out. Let's just, like, cruise through them really fast the last couple minutes. 3 for 3 on the, like, leans we had for the first couple games, and Sweden plus 1.5 was another angle here against Team USA. So we'll see if they can get there. Obviously, like we said, scoreless game so far. Here is what trips me up about Sweden, though, and this has been a problem for them throughout the course of everything Olympic hockey that we've seen so far. It seemed like maybe they had figured things out the final game of the preliminary round and in the qualification, and yet their coach is doing weird stuff with his lineup again here just one period in. We saw six-time Norris Trophy finalist Victor Hedman not play a single shift in the first period. Make it make sense.
Well, I should note, I did get the mandate. JVT reached out to me once he found out I was filling in. He said, I need to remind you, too much hockey sometimes.
Come on.
We have to reel it back
no.
in. Here's no such thing.
It's the Olympics.
Well, what did I tell you before the show started? My move now is just pairing every bet I want to do with the Dodgers to win the World Series to pay off in October. Why don't we go USA minus 315, combine it with the Dodgers to win the World Series? We'll see the money in about 6-7 months here. So.
Hey, save the pizzeria place for a little bit later. Okay. Yeah. I love it. You said pairing everything with the Dodgers, no matter what it is. That's the play.
It's a 401k. You wait 401 months for it to pay out.
We also have the NBA back tomorrow, so we'll look ahead to the second half. Also focusing on a loaded college basketball card, recap some of last night, which we'll get to in a moment. We did see some breaking news, by the way, and we'll recap this game in full. But Texas Tech loses more than just the game yesterday against ASU in the upset. JT Toppin, the news just coming down, torn ACL. He's done for the year for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I was on the air during that game, and it was very clear a couple things were at play. One, situational spot. Tremendous spot to fade Texas Tech coming off a win against Arizona. The way that went down, a marquee win for a Texas Tech team that in the Big 12 felt like it was flying a bit under the radar. And what's ironic is before that game started, because it started right when my show was hitting the air last night, I said out loud, you know, is Texas Tech a team we want to back in the tournament? Because they may not have the hype of a Kansas with Darren Peterson. They may not have the upside of an Arizona in some people's eyes, but they're going to be battle tested in March. JT Toppin being out for the year, there is a 0.0% chance of them making a run. He is their best rebounder, 11 rebounds per game. If they don't have him on the glass, let alone being their top shot maker, they don't have a chance. Odds went from 22-1 to 50-1 to win it all.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's not just their top rebounder. He's their best player by far. And the combination of he and Christian Anderson, they've been so complimentary. It's been such a fun watch for the most part. And it seemed like they were starting to get into a rhythm coming off the big win against Arizona. And I think naturally people thought that that could be a letdown spot last night. Not on the money line and not losing your best guy.
No, I mean, it was a double whammy. It's kind of like Tony Clark. You don't just lose your job, but you lose your family at the same time. We'll get to that later on in the show. But unfortunately for Texas Tech, they lose the game to Arizona State, and they lose their best player. And then on the other side for the Sun Devils, a lot of chatter about the future of Bobby Hurley as their head coach. Did he maybe get himself off the hot seat a little bit? It's a tough place to win. You know, I'm just regurgitating what other people say. I don't know why it's a tough place to win. Every time I see pictures of people on that campus, it looks like it's out of a magazine. Yeah. So I don't know why it's a tough place to win.
The pretty girls make all the boys want to go there. That's what everybody says.
Then why don't the good players go there?
By the way, though, the upset for ASU happened in football and college basketball.
Oh, huge, that's a good call.
Against Texas Tech.
That is a good call. Yeah, the Big 12.
I know. Big 12 has been fun, man.
Big 12. Look, everyone thought they're losing Oklahoma and Texas. What's the Big 12 going to be? You know what they are? Way more fun. Mom and dad left. There's a babysitter watching, and they're just running amok.
Another fun one in the Big 12 later on that we will preview as well, BYU and Arizona going head-to-head today. Let's throw up the graphic, though, for all the guests that we have coming on deck today here on Follow the Money as well. Excited to get Jeff Seeley on the program, golf handicapper, talk through the Genesis Invitational. Also, yes, a little Tiger Woods with a comment that he had on the podium yesterday. What we're going to see at Riviera, Mike Palm, the maestro in studio, as he usually is. He's got a commitment later on this afternoon, so we're only going to get him for one segment, unfortunately, but very excited to get his opinion on all of the hockey, especially the gold medal game we have coming up with the women, the reaction to what has been already two overtime games on the men's side earlier today, Canada getting pushed to the brink by Czechia. We'll talk more about that as well with John Forslund, NHL play-by-play man, does a great job as the voice of the Seattle Kraken, the NHL on TNT, also the Prime package on Amazon. So can we go to that hockey game real quickly from just a little while ago? And Canada and Czechia, absolutely, like, insanity through and through.
What was going on with Canada? Like, were they playing with their food? Were they looking ahead? Because they were down late in that game and had to will themselves back to a victory. And by the way, it's Czechia now. It's not Czech Republic. I'm not big on world politics, but pretty sure Czechia was like where the guys were from.
They say both.
In the TV show Barry. I'm pretty sure they were all from Czechia, and I thought it was two different countries. I had no idea until just now.
Czechia and Czech Republic, I hear, are both cool. Like, that's what everyone, you know, is using right now. It's okay. Czechia that is not what it is.
Oh, that's not the same thing.
Well, I think people pronounce it that way, but it's not pronounced that way.
Oh, Czechia is a totally different country.
I don't know if that's true or not. Oh, is it?
I don't know. I thought it was Czechia.
I just know people are calling Czechia Czechia, and that's not right.
I've been calling it Czechia,
okay,
for
so
sure.
Get you off that part of it. However, so Canada, for inquiring minds, top seed in this whole bad boy. They were a massive, like, more than 1,000 favorite on the money line to beat Czechia earlier today. Is Mitch Marner ultimately at the end in overtime that closes this thing out? They were down 2-1 after the first period, and that's got everybody freaking out. They were laying 3.5 on the puck line. What is this? What I would say this is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, or maybe we can talk about this with Mike and John later, is this was a good wake-up call, I think, for Team Canada. And maybe this is the adversity they needed to then put it into high gear moving forward. However, and I mean, John Cooper, when he was asked after the game, like, what his message was to the group when they were trailing, he said, don't let this be Sidney Crosby's last game for Team Canada. And Crosby was hurt in the second period of this thing. They end up coming back. So the status of Crosby is something that worries me a little bit. We still have some other players trying to figure out health-wise what that's going to look like. So that's a little bit of a concern. But I think this was probably the adversity Canada needed that they didn't have yet to this point and could maybe really take off.
And I saw they were live plus 260 at one point. You could have gotten them on the money line. Here's what I'd say. Canada has to make a big deal about the Olympics and gold medals because they don't win Stanley Cups anymore. That's why
that's
this matters.
That's cold-blooded.
That's why this matters so much to them. Don't let it be Sidney Crosby's last chance here. We need to get him a gold medal because we know the teams from Canada are never bringing a cup back that side of the border. That is the problem for Canada. That's why it means so much. And that's why for the U.S., when we get our shot at them eventually, after we take care of Sweden, we get to chant we're number two. When you get to be number two, you get to play loose and free. There's no pressure. And I think maybe today that might have been the pressure Canada's feeling of being that big favorite in this spot, the team that's expected to win. The U.S. may be a little cocky. They may be a little bit overzealous. But you know what they get to be? Free and loose because they're not expected to actually win.
Well, they need to win here first. And we are still scoreless.
True.
We got 15
true.
Minutes to go in the second period. So we are officially underway here in the second. But this is a huge game because Sweden, I mean, USA caught a bad draw with this one. Sweden was one of the predicted top four teams in the tournament. They were the favorite to win Group B, obviously didn't. That goes to Slovakia. So they end up falling all the way to the seven seed because of goal differential in this thing. So a really tough draw for Team USA to even be in this spot, to have to face them. Scoreless right now. Worth noting as well, once this result is in, we will reseed for the semifinals. They don't do that into the quarters, but they want to make sure that the top seeds that are remaining are playing the easiest seeds remaining for those semifinal games. The other results earlier today, another overtime game in addition to Canada and Czechia, Finland and Sweden, and Switzerland, excuse me. The Swiss go up 2-0 in the first. It's a scoreless second. The Finns answer with two goals in the first 7 minutes of the third. So we got a game, folks. Ends up going to overtime where Finland wins. So three unanswered goals for Finland. They ultimately win it. Arturi Lekkonen with the game-winning goal, and that then cashes them. They were the -245 moneyline favorites in this spot. Switzerland does cash the goal and a half on that side. Slovakia also beat Germany earlier this morning, +105. So a little underdog action, and that one comes through 6-2, dominant win. The total goes over 6.5, and that was another thing too for the Team Canada game. The goal total was sitting at 6.5. There is nothing better for an over 6.5 better out there than when you get a 3-3 game because you know you're going to get it.
By the way, Sweden right now, I still lean Sweden +1.5 in game. One book I'm looking at is 1.5 -185. Another one's +1.5 -145. So make sure you're finding a good number out there. -145, totally palatable.
That's a great note. These numbers have been all over the place. So this is one of those times where you want to make sure that you have the multiple app options. You're looking at all the numbers that are available because they differ significantly by book. Okay, we talked a lot about hockey. I'll give you a break for a little bit. Let's get into some college hoops when we return. A lot of nationally ranked teams going down yesterday. Will that continue into today's card? We'll hit it all coming up on Follow the Money.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Oh, it's me.
Back here on Follow the Money. No, I thought you were going to play audio. Oh. Back here on Follow the Money, Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson with you. Back here getting excited for a little bit of golf. And before we welcome in our guest, I did want to play a little sound from a familiar face around the golf circles. Here is Tiger Woods at the podium.
Final thing with you in regards to your recovery. Mm-hmm. Is the Masters off the table for you?
No.
Simple as that. One word answer. When he speaks, we listen, as do odds makers, because we have a number for Tiger at the Masters, 150-1. They put it up there because they know people will bet on it no matter how out of scope it is. With that, to begin our conversation, very excited to welcome in our good buddy Jeff Seeley here on the Progressive Guest Line. Tiger, of course, out there because of the Genesis Invitational. But what do you make of the comment here right off the top?
I give him about a 70% chance to play. I think there's better than a 50-50 chance. I'd make it 70% chance that he plays, and I'll be looking forward to fading him in every matchup like I did when he came back from his first comeback. So I hope he plays. It's good for golf.
Yeah, Jeff, let's talk about this for a second because I've been on this for a while. I'm so over this. Men of a certain age, a little bit older than I. They get so lubed up every time there's whispers of Tiger Woods potentially returning to play as if he's going to be the guy that he was 25 years ago. Stop trying to recapture your youth. He is not able. He is a tin man right now. He is bolted together by machines. Like the expectation that you're going to see the Tiger Woods you used to see. It's so sad to watch everyone get all worked up. I don't know how we keep doing this. You're 100% right, Jeff. If he's going to play, you got to find ways to fade him there. But speaking of, it is his event, right? This week coming up, the Genesis, right? Used to be his big event. Talk to me about the course. How does the course shake out? What's the layout like? And what does that do to the golfers you're looking to target?
So, yeah, guys, I mean, it's obviously we're at Riviera Country Club, legendary, absolute legendary course, one of the quotes courses on tour, not a long course, but really a shot makers and more of a placement course than a traditional bomb and gouge. Ironically, the correlation, it's funny, depends on who you talk to. Some people think it correlates very well with Augusta. Other people who are super golf nerds might argue the contrary. I tend to think it's probably somewhere between, and I think there definitely is some correlation to people who have had success and here and at Augusta. And I think a lot of it is because if you know how to play the course and you know where you can miss and where you can't at both courses, you can have some success. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a fun week, but this is a course where you don't have to necessarily be the biggest bomber. There's a lot of things that you can do, plug in here to win if you know where to miss.
Golf handicapper Jeff Seeley joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, also host of the Cutmaker podcast. To the surprise of no one, Scottie Scheffler is the top of the board as usual, around the 3-1 plus 315 range. He has put himself behind the eight ball early in each of the last two tournaments, but absolutely crushed the field coming back in both. What's the expectation for him this time around?
Yeah, so honestly, I've bet him at the end of the first round. In both events so far, I've finished to play top 10. I even put a little bit on the outright. I think it's a great way to do it. I'm not going to play him this week on the outright market. I'm going to play the winner without along the board, because I think Scottie could certainly win. But if he does fall back again and get off to a slow start, and I'll be looking to play him again top 10, because I think we see it time and time again. If I can get plus 150 or two, so I'm definitely going to be back on Scottie.
Talk to me about the board, because as much as we want to talk bombs, we'll get there in a second. The bombs are the fun things to do with the golf tournament, but you know this, doing this every single week, you still have to find those moderate guys that are going to be in contention. Is there anyone around that middle of the board that makes sense to you this week, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, guys, that's really where I'm going to live. The guys that I'm playing between, 15 to 30 to 1, really. Primary guys, really. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood. Guys, I think Tommy Fleetwood's the second best player in the world right now. And that might sound like a hot, but I honestly believe that. Playing a winner without, you can find him, in that 18 to 1 range. I like Tommy Fleetwood a lot. I think he's a great top 5 at plus 350. Talk about course history and consistency. Patrick Cantlay has been amazingly consistent. You can find him around 22 to 1. I think he's a great outright play and a top 10 play, which is where I played him, but my biggest bet. Siwoo Kim is kind of in that middle range, right, too. He's in that 25 to 1 price range without Scottie. That Siwoo Kim, would you believe this? Siwoo Kim in the last 100 rounds is the number one tee to green player on the PGA Tour, better than Scottie Scheffler.
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize that. So, I mean, that's how poor his putting's been, if that tells you anything.
Yeah.
So, Siwoo's been, he's been unbelievable ball striking wise. So he's a guy, again, I like in that middle range. And then one other guy I think makes a lot of sense from a, if you're pure modeling and form over course history, hasn't played great here, but I like Matt Fitzpatrick as well. He's in that sub 30 range. And another guy that I played outright in and I played a top 20 on.
What should we make of a guy like Colin Morikawa, who, finally gets the monkey off of his back this past weekend? You could sense the relief and the tears, obviously, after making that final putt on 18 a week ago. Is he someone you think we can see carry that over a little bit into a weekend like this, or how do you view him?
No, I think Morikawa is very much in play. For whatever reason, every time I play him, I miss. So I miss the good Morikawa moments every time. So I'm not going to try to chase him right now. But, man, certainly you see that when someone breaks through again, if you will, how they can get hot. We've seen it with Chris Goddard up lately, right? I mean, the guy just seems to be catching fire in a lot of these tournaments. With Morikawa, I think a lot of his confidence. His results here have been very good, T19, T6, T2, his last three trips. So I can certainly see playing Morikawa, but I just opted for guys, the Cantlays and Siwoo Kims, rather than Morikawa this week, but you could certainly make a case for him.
Jeff, let's talk bombs. That's the fun stuff. Those are the big hitters. You just want one to be live, right? Going in the final round, and then you could do something sure here. Would a guy like Tony Finau make sense? 121 to 1 overall, but maybe a 6 to 1 on him to finish in the top 10. He's gotten off to a pretty solid start this year. Or are there other bombs that you're looking at deep down the board?
Yeah, it's a good one. And he somehow, some way, gained 8 strokes putting here last week. So, I mean, that's one of those things that you're probably never going to see again, because a Tony Finau usually comes down to putting. So I don't mind a Tony Finau here at all as a bomb. One of my favorites over 50 to 1 is Pearson Coody. He's been unbelievable. Guys, when you look at Pearson Coody, over the last 8 months, he's played 12 PGA Tour events. He has 3 top fives, a top 10, and 4 top 20s in 12 events. That is unbelievable. I don't think we're going to see him north of 50 to 1 for long. So he's the guy that I'm laddering top 30 all the way up to top 10 with some of the outright. He's not a super bomb, but I certainly one you can look at. And then my guy, Tom Hollywood Hoagie, 220 to 1 this week. And I think he really is a course history guy. Finished T14 last week at Pebble Beach, where he's had success in the past. Now we find him an event where he has back-to-back top 20s in his last 2 trips. So I think Hoagie's a guy you could look at. I think he's a really good first-round leader play. I played him round 1, top 5 on DraftKings at 17 to 1. I think that's a really interesting play. You can find him top 20 at plus 350. And then I threw $10 on his outright at 220 to 1 just in case. But Tom Hoagie's always a fun guy early on to fire his bomb.
To follow up on that, before we let you go, any other derivative markets, you know, top 20s, top 10s, or round 1 leaders that you want to make sure you get out there?
The only other one I might mention that you look at first round, he's going to be certainly lower on the board, but Cam Young is always a really good candidate for that. And then as you're kicking around, it's getting around Masters time. So if you're building out your parlay, start adding Scottie Scheffler Masters in. You can plug those in, and along with your whatever college basketball game you're going to bet tonight, as Dustin mentioned earlier, you can make this like your 401k that you can cash in April instead of 410 months later.
And we already know Dustin's going to pair it with the Dodgers.
Everything.
There you go.
I just found Scotty to win one of the majors at minus 165, or I'll do the Masters. I'll mix that in. So it's Scotty, it's the Dodgers, it's UConn women's basketball minus 500. That is the triumphant we're beginning every big parlay with.
Let's go.
I got it right here. It's Scotty Masters, Dodgers, UConn women is 17 to 1 on DraftKings.
Oh,
there you go.
Let's
roll.
Come on. That's the play.
Jeff, you're the man. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Jeff Seeley. Again, make sure you check out the Cutmaker podcast. You can follow him on X as well, at Cutmaker Jeff. We're locked and loaded.
See, this is the problem when you start doing the Mitch and Paul pizzeria segment. You start building.
Yeah. We're just percolating. You know, we've got the ideas.
And it's no different than any other parlay. Everyone knows the rule of parlays. If you place a parlay, when it does lose, it will lose by 1.
Obviously.
It's never the last leg. It's always like the 3rd leg. So then you go back and revisit it and go,
Dustin,
you know what, we had something.
The arguments my father and I get into, because he'll follow my plays and I'll go 3 and 4 on the day.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, oh, almost had it, Storm. And I'm like, what do you mean? I went 3 and 1. He's like, yeah, but I put them all together. You don't have to do that.
No, come on.
We'll be right back. Speaking of which, win some, lose some after a quick timeout.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Sorry about Tony, Dustin Sweetelson in for the guys for one more day as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. And given the chaos that we have in Olympic men's hockey right now, nobody better to get into it with than Mike Palm, who joins us here in studio in his usual spot. The Swedes tie it up, Mike. Mika Zibanejad on Connor Hellebuck.
I didn't see that coming. I really didn't. I thought the Swedes hadn't been aggressive enough all game in it. The Americans were pretty much in control, but they pull the goalie and they get the... It's been a day of chaos. Other than the Germany no-show early, this has been an incredible day of hockey.
This could be the 3rd overtime we get here. 40 seconds
could
left
be.
In regulation.
No, it's a favorite.
38
well,
seconds.
Dustin looks at his
app,
ahead.
He could tell us,
is
because this is 45 seconds.
40, no, there's still... Yeah, we saw the goal on the app happen literally a minute before it happened on the screen. By the way, How come when you come into studio, every time I look, Paulie's in the middle and he's like this low.
Yeah.
How come he's that low? He's not that short. What happened?
I think he's miserable. And then he just sang no.
I said I had to do their promo for tomorrow's show coming up on Thursday's Follow the Money. The boys are back. I said Mitch probably spent his vacation at the White Lotus.
He was in Barbados.
So, same thing. And then minus 10,000 odds, Paulie did not leave the city of Las Vegas.
He didn't leave downtown Las Vegas. MLK is about as far as he got away from Fremont Street.
Y'all are the worst.
No, we're not. We're really not. It's true.
When you know it's people, you just know they're... Paulie probably said, I'm going to go to L.A., I'm going to go to Hawaii, and in the end...
Will they share the stories tomorrow when they come on? Will they share their,
Mitch
their
Mitch trips? Mitch will.
And Paulie will tell about some video poker session eventually.
Yeah, he went and got a chicken sandwich at a steak place.
To push this forward, though, with the hockey, I think that there was an expectation, though, coming in that Team USA got a bad draw here with Sweden, given that they ended up being ultimately in the seventh seed, that this could be a really tough game. I don't know if people thought the same way about Czechia against Canada. We said that in the preliminary round, and they were a no-show. They get shut out 5-0. Today, they pushed Canada to the brink. Where was this team at the beginning?
I thought Canada was not great defensively today, honestly. And this game went up and down. This was not a game dominated by Canada that Czechia got lucky, although their third goal was with six skaters. I mean, when you celebrate with six guys hugging each other, that should be an indication. And shame on for the officiating, which a lot are NHL officials for missing that. But we talked about this before the tournament. Lukas Dostal, yep, with a team that has a defense on its mind, not the Ducks, could be dangerous. And remember, I bet them to get a medal. Terrible draw, because I didn't think they'd draw Canada. I thought they'd make the final four, and then do they need to win the third place game to get a medal?
Okay, let's assume the U.S. finishes the job here, which is not a great assumption. If we see Canada, what is the style of game that the U.S. needs it to be if they're going to end up winning that game?
Well, I used to think that it was going to be a dirty game in front of the net. Remember, Bill Guerin did not take four of the top five American-born scorers on this team, right?
Well, we were up in arms about Jason Robertson specifically. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't think he took enough finishers, right? But the way that the Czech Republic played against Canada today, maybe going up and down the ice with these guys is the formula.
Okay, you're no offense, you're older than us. I'm obsessed with the 1980 Olympic team. Mm-hmm. I've watched the movie 5 billion times. I watched the documentary on Netflix on my vacation on my way back. When you think about what that did to hockey in the country, was that the catalyst that made hockey as big as it became eventually here?
That's an interesting point, but you still had great franchises in New York. You know, and then hockey expanded to areas. I think expansion for hockey. You put a hockey team in the middle of the desert in Phoenix, how could that work? It was great, right?
For a while.
Then you bring it here, right? It's great. And it's expanded all these places. It worked in California. I will say this. There's no group that milked more out of 40. You know, for 45 years, out of one game than this group did.
You see Mike Arruzzioni, you're like, Mike Arruzzioni has made he's the original influencer. Before TikTok, Mike Arruzzioni was a guy who was like, I'm going to make a living off of being Mike Arruzzioni for the rest of his life, and congrats to him, he's nailed it.
They had the 40-year anniversary here in Vegas, and I actually got to, like, host a bunch of them on a stage, and it was really fun, it was cool. I got... what's his face? Al Michaels came out for it and everything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really
well,
fun.
Well, he was, what, like 27 years old?
He was a young guy then.
Announcing that?
It was a big deal for him doing the Olympics then. He wasn't remember he did Monday Night Baseball?
Yeah, I'm sure bigger people passed on it, and it was on tape delay.
Right. Right.
That's even a crazier thing to think of. We're complaining about the 40
seconds. The NBA Finals used to be on tape delay, Stormy, in the 70s.
But we live in a world now where if you don't know what happened in the moment and react in the moment, you never recapture.
So this is something I want to ask you about as we are in overtime right now.
Three on three.
What do you think about this in the Olympics?
For 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then they go to the shootout. Well, Stormy, I've made my thoughts known to you about 3-on-3. It's the worst hockey we play all year in the NHL because all these guys do is skate it out of the zone and change. It's just a constant merry-go-round. Remember before, you couldn't even get through a minute of it. It was just wide-open hockey, but now they've adopted this. I believe that if you have the puck in your own zone and you skate it past the red line, it should be a penalty in the NHL.
Wait, why make it harder in overtime? Just play straight up 5-on-5.
Right?
I need the – this is like busy work. This is someone came up with an idea. This is the wrinkle we're going to have for Olympic overtime. It makes no sense. Why would you want to crown a team and let them advance at not everyone at their equal strength?
I would play 20 minutes of 5-on-5, and then if you didn't get there, then go to the shootout. But I wouldn't do this 3-on-3 because it distorts the game.
It's like NBA
no
Jam,
one likes
though.
It. It's like
no
NBA,
one likes it.
It reminds me of NBA Jam, though. I do like that.
If Team USA wins, so they'll reseed after the quarterfinals. So it would have Canada against Finland and USA Slovakia. If Sweden wins, Canada will face them because they're the seventh seed, which would be a tough draw for Canada. And then Slovakia would face Finland.
Well, the good thing for the U.S. here is if you win this game, I mean, Slovakia has played well, but I certainly don't fear them as much as Sweden. So the U.S., absolutely. I think it's a little break here that if they can win, they get Slovakia and not Finland, who, you know, most the conventional wisdom was Sweden, Finland is the third best team,
correct.
Right? And then Czech maybe fifth. But you got to get through this, and you got to get through 3-on-3, which is a lot of luck.
Did you know that the Czech Republic and Czechia are the same country?
I do.
I found out today. Real quick on the MLBPA, Tony Clark, the situation he finds himself in, because you are the moral compass around here.
Well,
Mike Palm, is it worse if he cheated with his wife's sister or if he cheated with his brother's wife?
His wife's? I have to think now. His wife.
He lost his job and his family
brother's
either
wife.
Way.
I think brother's wife is worse.
No, I think wife's sister is worse. Wife's sister is worse. Stormy, wife's sister's got to be worse.
Because you're choosing your wife and betraying
her. You didn't choose your brother.
Yeah, that's
you
blood.
Chose your wife.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know.
But
I think
what a smokescreen that was. Follow the money. Follow the money. Who cares about the sister-in-law? Follow the money here.
Also, by the way, Tony Clark, he's not the one that actually does the negotiating. Let's be very clear about that, okay? They have real lawyers because Tony Clark's not a guy you want up in the room against billionaire owners and Rob Manfred, okay?
No, he's not Don Fehr. I'll give him that.
By the way, Don Fehr, he's only 77 years old.
I couldn't believe that.
I thought he was 120.
I thought he was 77 then when he ran the union.
Yes.
Sorry to make you upset and go back to hockey,
yeah, go.
But we do have the U.S. women's gold medal game
Russia.
Coming up tomorrow, yeah?
I was way wrong on this. Remember I said don't lay 350 because there'll be 180 in the title game? They're 450
yeah.
tomorrow. They were 170 a week ago, Stormy.
They're
450.
Yeah,
nothing's changed.
Yeah.
It's the same two teams. 170 and 450? Get out of here.
Yeah. And yet, how are you playing it? Because, I don't know.
My lungs are. I need the Canadian, the U.S. women to win. So there's no play for me. Should I try to plus 2.5 goals in the middle? I don't think so. Some of my friends that have it at minus 120 are taking the 2.5. I think this is a whole different breed. This U.S. women's team is so dominant.
So that's how I feel. Because we were talking about this yesterday. I understand that the pricing is out of whack on this game. It's awful from what we saw to this.
Yep.
But my feelings on Team USA has not changed whatsoever. So I laid 1.5 with USA right away.
Remember how much I love Sweden? And I said Sweden might be better than Canada. Sweden didn't have a goal the whole tournament, crushed everybody.
Yep.
And the U.S. beat them 5-0. It was 5-0 after 2.
While you guys were talking, I've been locked in on the game. Just an update. We're putting pressure on them. The U.S. has gotten a bunch of shots up here in overtime. Just, it's really hard to run an offense
this
with three guys on the rink.
This is like a coin flip here. Honestly,
yeah.
You got two NHL goaltenders.
Here are the odds. Minus 210 USA plus $1.60 Sweden.
I'd take the $1.60.
You have to.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, you walked in here and you guys were going back and forth on Mick Cronin.
This is the best.
This guy, I call him Napoleon Dynamite. The little gentleman, he's ready to explode. He lives just for the press conference. This is 3 years of this with him. I even went back and looked at some stuff from Cincinnati when they would play Xavier and that, how crazy this guy is. He always calls out at his team. It's always his team's fault. How about the reporter? He said, kudos, you've asked the worst question ever. The guy's, well, you're raising your voice to me. The guy wasn't at all. The guy,
and he goes, it's on video, everyone can see.
Dude, what are you lying about? How about last year? I'll play this maybe next week when I'm back with Mitch and Paul. They asked him about the travel in Vegas. Every week, every other week, he complains about the travel. We have to fly, and it's freezing below zero because somebody said, well, what about the West teams? They travel too. He goes, really? Really? Those kids from Iowa City are upset that they get to stay in the same hotel for 2 nights in 72-degree weather in L.A.? You're going to compare? You're a reporter? I'm going to walk out of here and go eat.
Go!
You're a reporter.
Let's
USA.
Go.
USA.
Let's
Hughes.
Go.
One of the
Hughes brothers.
Brothers
having a day, by the way. They had both assists on the first goal earlier. Let's go.
Canada.
Let's go.
Canada,
all right.
Your days are numbered, Canada.
Yes.
We've had your cup since 93. Now we're coming for your gold medal.
Mike, you're awesome.
Thank
I'm so
you.
Glad we got to celebrate this with you. You're the man. And speaking of cups, we're not allowed to call it.
Not big cup, little cup.
But
again,
you can
Stormy.
Tell what I'm talking about when I mention the World Soccer Championship experience that's coming up. Only right here at Circa Resort Casino.
Be better, boy.
One lucky winner can score a 2-night stay here at Circa, a VIP cabana for two at Stadium Swim, and so much more. Enter now. Kick off World Soccer Championship at Circa Resort and Casino. Giveaway details, CircaLasVegas.com.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Unreal day for Olympic hockey as we welcome you back here to Follow the Money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Stormy Bonantoni, Dustin Sweetelson with you. Three games that go to overtime, including both the U.S. and Canada, who both ultimately escape and find themselves in the semifinal, as we all thought they would be, just not quite the way we saw them getting there. Very excited to dive into all of this and, of course, look ahead to the back end of the Olympic break when we get back to the NHL season. John Forslund joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, NHL play-by-play voice. Voice of the Seattle Kraken, Prime Monday Night Hockey, the NHL on TNT. He does it all. And I'm sure, John, you've been enjoying all of this craziness just like the rest of us.
Yeah, Stormy and Dustin, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been great. You know, I think the preliminary rounds, there are a couple of good games or other games where you think you see the disparity between the rosters. And, you know, the games kind of played out the way we thought they would. But today was unbelievable, the way the teams were pushed. You know, the U.S. and Canada both faced adversity for the first time in this tournament. I think it's a good thing. I think they needed it. Luckily, they both survived because I think that's what everybody wants to see on Sunday. It doesn't always work out that way. That's, as the cliche goes, that's why they play. But I think each of these two teams now will recognize that they survived this situation. They'll dig down and probably be a lot better on Friday because of this.
Talk to me about what you saw with Canada earlier, John, because they were on the ropes. How concerning is it? Do you think this is just an isolated incident with a Czechia team that came ready to play, looking to upset the favorite in this games? They're minus $1.30 to win the gold medal. Or do you think this is something where Canada might have a couple of issues they have to work out here before they face the U.S. eventually?
Yeah, I think, you know, in Canada's case, I didn't think they had a good day. And I think that's going to happen. And, you know, it's how you look at the end of a bad day. So they look great at the end of a bad day. The thing you got to remember about both circumstances and all the teams that won today, you know, they had a scheduling advantage. It's set up this way. So the team you're playing, the underdog team, is coming in on a back-to-back. And I thought Canada's speed would be prevalent, especially early in the game. And then when McDavid scored, it looked like that's the way it was going to play out. And then all of a sudden, Czechia had an answer. And then as you go deeper and deeper into the game, the underdog starts to build a little bit more confidence, and away we go. You saw probably the looks on the faces of every member of Team Canada when they were down 3-2. It was a look of obvious desperation, but also they were frightened, I think, by the moment. I think it's hard to understand the type of self-induced pressure these teams put themselves under. These players, the National Hockey League players, wanted to go to play in a tournament like this. But when you do and you have an entire country riding on your back, it can be overwhelming. But a lot of these guys have played in the most pressurized situations you can have as pros. They should be able to handle it, but everybody's human. So I think for Canada, the first thing they're going to have to look at is, yeah, Jordan Binnington again made big saves in the clutch when they needed it, but at times during the game did not look like himself. And to me, that's still, you know, a situation that Canada has been great at deflecting, because they're right so far that Binnington is the best of what they have. He's struggled all season in the NHL, but he rises to the occasion in these big games. So that's the first thing you look at. The rest of it, you know, Canada's got enough firepower. I think it's pretty obvious. They should be able to win special teams. They should be able to, you know, outclass any opponent they see until they get to possibly the United States. So I just think it's a mental thing for them that maybe this is a lab experiment they had to go through today to get them to the next hurdle.
So with that in mind, and you say like outclassing anyone they play, they have the capability to, they're laying 2.5 yeah. goals against Finland. So the market is yeah. asking, can they win this game by three games or more in the semifinal? Team USA, same number that they are laying against the Slovakian team. Do you think that yeah. both of them are capable of winning by margin?
I think what you have to remember about all these circumstances is it is a game seven, right? And Stormy, I think you've seen enough hockey, you know this. When in a game seven, oftentimes 1-0 is not a surprise. And if you look at the way the United States and Sweden played today, not a lot of physicality, great skating, close checking, waiting for the other side to make a mistake, taking advantage of an opportunity. You know, the whistles get put away by the officials in the NHL in a game seven situation. They let the teams determine it. So getting into a game where it's a blowout, you know, I don't know. You know, I would guard against that. A wide margin of victory. I think it's going to be close. And I think Slovakia's got an exceptionally hot goalie right now. He's a hidden story. And, you know, he's a guy that's four deep in the Minnesota system. He plays in the American Hockey League, you know, and he's been great. So he's going to keep it close. Canada, you know, will have to, you know, do what they have to do in their game, you know, again, and Finland is a type of team that, again, is as a country. And when you look at international play, Finland keeps it close. So Canada's got a chore to work through because it could be frustrating in terms of what they're up against defensively from the other side. And Slovakia, for, you know, in the U.S.'s case, I mean, this has been a team that has been the dark horse the entire tournament with no pressure. So it's pressure against no pressure. So I think the games are going to be tight.
John, let's do an early look ahead, the U.S. and Canada, because you're an American. You're surrounded by Canadians all the time. We have held their cup hostage since 1993. They're the favorites to win the gold medal. How does this game need to go for us to take the gold medal from the Canadians here and not just have the Stanley Cup, but also the gold for four more years until they get a chance another time around? How's the game have to go for the U.S. to win?
Yeah, I'm also an American on the call of Amazon's Prime Monday Night Hockey in Canada, which is hard to do, you know. But if you hang around long enough like I have, sometimes these things come your way. You know, the U.S., in a game like that, what I love about hockey is this. You know, hockey has changed a lot, and my career is now going on 42 years of pro hockey and well over 30 years in the National Hockey League. And with those generations of changes, you see the game change right in front of your eyes. But the one thing that's never, ever changed is the goaltending. And I don't care if we're talking about the 1940s or the now. Goalies are the X factor in any hockey game at any level. So it's interesting that, you know, you've got Connor Hellebuck, who has had, not a great season. His team has struggled. But he's a dominant goaltender. And then you've got Jordan Binnington. You know, if they get there, he'll be the guy. And, you know, his story is that these are the moments that he wins all the time. So I think it really starts there when you get into it. And then you get into, you know, how's the game going to be played? I think you'll get into, again, close-checking hockey. We're not going to have a reincarnation of the Four Nations. We're not going to have what we saw there in terms of physicality. And, you know, there is no fighting in Olympic hockey. So we're not going to see anything like that. Will special teams play a role? Probably. But I think the officials will do a good job, to my previous points, on making sure it's even that way. Because really, to be honest, there's nothing aside from goaltending that can kill against Canada's power play. Canada's power play, both units, it's exceptional. It's the best in the world. You just can't stop that. So you don't want to get into that kind of game. So the U.S. is going to have to play close to the vest. They're going to have to protect through the middle of the ice. They're going to have to limit speed, you know, and when they have the puck, utilize your strengths. Utilize the mobile defensemen that you have, Werenski, Hughes, Faber. You know, these kids can move the puck and can be, you know, a one-person breakout. And, you know, that's what you look at. So you get into a team game with Canada, and the deeper you go and the closer it is, all of a sudden the U.S., who's an outstanding team, they just might be just a slight notch, in my opinion, below Canada in terms of the on-paper skill level. But as the game goes deeper, all of a sudden this great team in the U.S., doesn't have pressure. And will the pressure, you know, be too much for Canada in a tight game? So that's where I see the U.S., you know, winning the gold medal. That's the type of situation it's going to have to be.
John, we're up against the break, but if you can, in 30 seconds, is the Pacific Division still up for grabs in your eyes?
I think Vegas is finding it now. I think they're they're going to be in a great position coming out of the break. I think they're kind of comfortable with the way they're playing, and every other team is certainly in a situation where, you know, it is wide open. So the only team I see, if they come back the same way, and if Vegas can play consistently and get to what they believe they can be, I think they're just a notch above everybody else. The rest of it is a scramble, so anything's possible.
You're awesome. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it.
Okay, you guys, keep up the great work. Thank you.
Back at you. John Forslund, play-by-play voice of the Seattle Kraken, NHL on TNT, doing a great job, as he mentioned, the Monday Night Prime as well out there in Canada. We've got to step aside here real quickly, but so much more to come here on Follow the Money. Don't go anywhere.